The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Catches are up, there's a push of fish at Naknak Quijack, and the Baywide catch is climbing. Will today be the first million fish harvest day? This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report for July 2nd. I'm Molly Dishner. Today, analyst Scott Rayburn pulls out the next best thing to a crystal ball and offers a little interpretation of the Port Moeller numbers.
Each year, the Bristol Bay sockeye run seems to be unprecedented in some form or another. For instance, in 2013, the run was 6 days early, and that was unprecedented. Just like forecasting catch and escapement this year shows the run more likely to be under forecast, it would have caused the same concern last year as well. But the run magnitude of 59 million in 2015 beat these historical odds, and it may mean that now the past is less indicative of the future for Bristol Bay.
And we check in on the salmon cycle of life.
These guys are like the Skittles and M&Ms of the salmon world, right? If you're a salmon, you want to eat these, and you want to eat a lot of them.
Those stories, plus a look at how old the fish coming back to Bristol Bay are this year. But first, we're going to run down the numbers. Get out your pens. The total run to Bristol Bay through Friday, 5.8 million sockeye. Friday's catch, 876,000, bringing the season total to almost 4 million. Friday's escapement from all rivers counting, 264,000, season total 1.5 million. Friday's catch and escapement by district. Ugashik's Friday catch, 145,000, season total 500,000. Ugashik escapement, 17,000, season total 93,000. Igigik catch Friday, 250,000, season total 1.2 million. Igigik River escapement, 70,000 fish, season total 550,000. Naknak Quijack's long-awaited Friday catch, a whopping 236,000 sockeye, bringing the season total to 258,000. Naknak River count was 109,000, season total 296,000. Quijack River counted 14,000, season total 29,000. Nooshigak District catch, 238,000 fish Friday, season total 1.9 million. At the Nooshigak Sonar, almost 2,000 kings yesterday, bumping the season total to 96,000. 25,000 reds at the Sonar, second best day so far, bringing the season total to 267,000. The Wood River Tower, 27,000 reds counted yesterday, season total 300,000. Igushik, 1,900 yesterday, season total 17,000. Togiak, 7,700 fish caught Friday, season total 42,000, and tower counts there coming soon. Registrations as of this morning. Ugashik, 252 permits on 192 boats. Igigik, 390 permits on 308 boats. Naknak Quijack, 470 permits on 393 boats. That's jumping in 48 hours to 555 permits on 454 boats. Nooshigak, 453 permits on 349 boats. And Togiak, 35 permits on 35 boats. Grand total this morning, 1,600 permits on 1,277 boats. That's the daily run summary for Bristol Bay. Looking now to Port Moeller. Friday, good catches again, daily index of 52. Today, weather prevented fishing at stations 10 and 12, but for stations 2 through 8, the daily index is somewhere between 65 and 75. Today's best catches were at stations 6 and 8. We also got our first set of age composition numbers from Port Moeller on Friday, the short version. Early catches at Port Moeller so far indicate more three-ocean fish than expected, and fewer two-ocean fish. More on Port Moeller later in the program. For now, we're done with the numbers. Back in a moment.
Support comes from Crowley. Fueling Alaska for more than 60 years, Crowley supports local fisheries onshore and off with a full range of commercial marine fuel products and Bristol Bay floater fueling services. More information at crowleyfuels.com.
has a crystal ball to tell us just what is going on with the 2016 Bristol Bay Sockeye Run. But today, the Port Mueller Test Fishery released another interpretation. Bristol Bay Science and Research Institute data analyst Scott Rayburn tells us what the numbers so far might mean.
The following is our fourth interpretation for the 2016 Port Mueller data. The sharp decline in the daily catch index from June 26 to June 29 was starting to paint a bleak picture for the 2016 run magnitude. However, the last 2 days of increased catches show signs of recovery. Stock composition estimates through June 28 show no major departures from expectations. Igigik has so far dominated catches at Port Mueller, and in subsequent estimates, we expect it to decline as the Naknek-Quijack district increases. Catches were greatest at Stations 4 on June 30 by a large margin, then greatest at Station 6 yesterday to a similar degree. These catch patterns and those so far today indicate the run is building further offshore, which is consistent with an expected increase in the Naknek-Quijack component. Igigik fish tend to be distributed more inshore and Naknek-Quijack fish more offshore. Now, if we take a pessimistic viewpoint, this year's observed cumulative daily catch index seems most similar to 2012 and 2014. Between these 2 years, catch and escapement this year is more similar to 2012, which produced a run of 30 million. Ignoring last year, these similarities would cause strong suspicion that the run is far less than the preseason forecast of 45 to 50 million. Forecasts of catch and escapement for the coming days based on Port Mueller does little to improve this outlook when we compare this to what we have seen in years past. Now for the optimistic viewpoint. We cannot ignore last year. While there is little correlation of run timing and magnitude between consecutive years, 2015 proved that anything is possible. Each year, the Bristol Bay Sockeye Run seems to be unprecedented in some form or another. For instance, in 2013, the run was 6 days early, and that was unprecedented. Just like forecasting catch and escapement this year shows the run more likely to be under forecast, it would have caused the same concern last year as well. But the run magnitude of 59 million in 2015 beat these historical odds, and it may mean that now the past is less indicative of the future for Bristol Bay. At this point, it seems that catches at Port Mueller in the coming days will really shift the odds one way or the other. If Port Mueller catches increase and remain strong for the rest of the season, then the run magnitude close to the preseason forecast is more likely. Tapering catches at Port Mueller will lower the odds considerably. And so far today, catches from stations 4, 6, and 8 look promising. That's all for now.
That was BBSRI's Scott Rayburn reading us the latest interpretation out of Port Mueller. Back in a moment. The whole Bristol Bay Sockeye Run is about fish swimming home. Each summer, managers and researchers keep an eye on several pieces of information to gauge the salmon run as it takes shape. One of the things they watch is how old the salmon are when they return to spawn. Most juvenile salmon spend a year or two in freshwater before heading to sea, and then 2 or 3 years in the ocean before swimming home again. Friday, the season's first round of age composition data from the Port Mueller Test Fishery came out. The data is based on fish scales collected from the salmon caught at Port Mueller and then shipped off and analyzed in a lab. This morning, Fish and Game's area research biologist for Bristol Bay, Greg Buck, walks us through the data.
So far at Port Mueller, we've got about 52% three ocean fish, and we forecast around 40%. So we're running a little hot on the three ocean fish, but we still got the last 2 days. We had a really large Port Mueller index on the 30th and the 1st, and we haven't seen those fish. So that might, we still have time for that to even itself out.
Several factors can affect what ages fish return at, like genetics and also ocean conditions. Why does it matter?
We track the age composition in the harvest and in the escapement because our forecasts are based on ages. So when we forecast a river, we're actually not forecasting that river by itself. We're forecasting the individual age groups in that river.
So far, it looks like the early numbers don't match the forecast precisely. But Buck says it's just too early to say what that means about the whole run.
I think it's too early to say that. Like I say, we've got the last 2 days have been some of the strongest board molar indexes we've had, and those scales haven't made it to town and been read yet. So I would wait until I got all the board molar data in, which should be in another 10 days or so before I can say a lot about how port molar compares to the harvest and inshore.
And even if the numbers still don't match by the end of the season, the total run could still be as large as forecast.
Well, it's definitely possible to be different and still the same size. For example, both Igigik and Ugashik have a much stronger three-ocean component than we forecast, and that's inshore.
Fish and Game also collects samples from the commercial harvest and at counting towers to help compare to the port molar data. We'll keep an eye on that as the run shapes up this month, and more fish come home.
Swimming to and fro, our hearts know where to go. Beating like the drum, it sends us back to where we're from. Oh, we're going home. We know who we are, and it's time to travel far. For days and nights to roam, to make our way back home. Oh, we're going home. Swimming to and fro, our hearts know where to go.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
Well, while you're out hauling in salmon to feed the industry and the world, you might forget to ponder the ways that salmon feeds the land and ecosystems of Bristol Bay. KDLG's Hannah Colton joined a bunch of kids for an ecology lesson at camp on Lake Clark last week and filed this audio postcard.
All right, so what does salmon eat, guys?
Bugs.
Bugs, right?
Bugs and little minnows.
Yes, bugs and little minnows. So
I'm Kay Shoemaker, and I do 4-H programs with Cooperative Extension, the University of Alaska Fairbanks, all over the state. And today these guys are doing an exploration of their local creek here at their culture camp, and they're checking out all the different aquatic insects.
These guys are like the Skittles and M&Ms of the salmon world, right? If you're a salmon, you want to eat these, and you want to eat a lot of them. So we're going to check out these guys under the microscopes, but first I need you to catch them.
All right.
All right?
I can do that.
All right, let's do it. Ready? You guys ready for a
little bugs on the rocks.
Lifting up. Scooping in. Found a bunch of rocks. I don't think I have anything in here.
Me neither.
Just
oh, look, it's right there, it's right there.
Did you find it?
Yes, you see it?
What is it? Oh, you found a mayfly. Good job.
A mayfly.
Remember the one that I said with three tails and you put it on your backside?
That's gross.
But what if I'm a bear and I'm eating a big old chunky salmon and I pull the salmon out of the creek and I pull it up onto shore and I'm just taking a big bite out of its belly, right? Well, the rest of that salmon gets picked apart by scavengers, right? Who's a scavenger in this ecosystem?
Foxes.
Crows. Good. Crows. Good. Okay, so all kinds of animals are going to pick apart that salmon, and as they do, those bits of salmon go back into this ecosystem, including going back into the soil for these trees, and these trees pull up the nutrients from the salmon too. So all of these trees around here are healthier because the salmon return year after year. They won't return if these bugs die.
My name is Darius Harriet. I'm from Nundalton. I'm a bit of a germaphobe, so I don't really like this kind of stuff, but like after I started asking questions and stuff, I found it very interesting, and without these bugs, everything is going to be gone. Our trees, our plants, our fish, everything, because without them the fish will die off.
And the only way these bugs go away is if we ruin this ecosystem with pollution. So if we keep it clean, then these guys will return every year, and so will the salmon.
So if the salmon don't come back, then the trees will die?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm telling you. And the bears will die, and the eagles will die, and the foxes will die, and so will we. Everything in every watershed in Alaska depends on salmon. It is our most precious natural resource.
Wow, I did not know that.
That piece reported by Hannah Colton at the far north corner of the Bristol Bay watershed on Lake Clark, where the fish return late into the fall. Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, back in a moment. Couple of messages for the fleet today. To Eric Hernandez on the fishing vessel Icarus, a birthday message this noon. Happy 19th birthday, Eric. Mom and Dad are thinking about you and love you. We're proud of you. And Eric, we'll play Louis Armstrong's Wonderful World after the show today, a request from your mother. To Mike Fortner on the Bonnie BEE, your friends write, "Hey, Captain Mike Fortner on the Bonnie BEE. The crew down in Renton and Olympia are covering for you the best we can. Fish smart and safe. See you in a few weeks." If you have a message for a fisherman or other feedback, song requests, story ideas, please get in touch. Call us at 842-2200 or drop a line. fish@kdlg.org, dave@kdlg.org, or molly@kdlg.org. In other fish news, the state can't figure out what to do about revenue, but one community has made some adjustments to its own tax schemes so that it can pay for infrastructure projects and city government. The city of St. Paul voted 42-30 to increase its sales tax by 0.5%, bringing the local rate to 3.5%, in line with Acatan and King Cove. That goes into effect July 17th. St. Paul also adopted a program changing the taxes on some fisheries. The plan reduces the sales tax on certain crab deliveries, including CDQ catches of Bristol Bay Red King crab. That's in an effort to get more harvester to offload there. After quite a wait, official word on that fish kill that left 70 tons of dead fish on beaches in four provinces in Vietnam is that Formosa Ha Tin Steel Corp., a subsidiary of Taiwan's Formosa Plastics Group, is said to be responsible and will pay $500 million in compensation. In sports news, the famous Mount Marathon race in Seward is just a couple days away. When runners scramble up the mountain on Monday, there will be a couple changes. Juniors still race first thing, but then the men head off in the morning. Women take the afternoon start. That's a switch from usual. Alaska running phenom Allie Ostrander won't be there, however. She's competing in the Olympic trials on July 7th. Across the pond, quarterfinals of Euro 2016 soccer tournament underway. Yesterday, Wales beat Belgium. Today, Germany is playing Italy in what, as of this recording, sounded like a pretty close match. That's just about it for today's show. The marine weather forecast for Bristol Bay, a small craft advisory in effect through tonight. Tonight, west wind 25 knots, seas at 6 feet, patchy fog. Tomorrow, west wind 20 knots, seas at 5 feet, patchy fog. And from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef tonight, variable wind at 10 knots, except west 20 from Port Moeller east, seas at 4 feet. Tomorrow, southwest wind 20 knots, seas at 3 feet. Catch our replays at 6:30, 10, and 2, and find our shows archived online. I'm Molly Dishner, with help from the rest of the KDLG team. Keep in touch. We'll see you back here for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.